On chapter 21 of the confession that deals with religious worship in the Sabbath day. Specifically, I'm on page 542, which was the third paragraph of chapter 21. In chapter 21, that third paragraph says, prayer with thanksgiving being one special part of religious worship is by God required of all men, and that it may be accepted, it is to be made in the name of the Son, by the help of His Spirit, according to His will, with understanding, reverence, humility, fervency, faith, love, and perseverance, and if vocal, in a known tongue. Last week we talked about that first statement, prayer being one special part of religious worship. Special, I suggested to you, may be because it may be the most act of worship that any of us uses, engages in. I think we probably pray more than we do any of the other things that we do in worship. Not that it's the most important necessarily, but it's simply what we do because you're doing it through the day, who knows how many times. So we considered that. We considered what made it an act of worship. It says prayer being a special part of religious worship. So what about prayer makes it an act of worship? And we considered, again, the same things, in large part, that we considered about worship in general. Right? Same thing that we considered about worship in general, that it's a recognition of God as God, certainly as we worship, that is preeminent. If we don't get that one right, everything else is going to be wrong. First commandment, right? Response to God's love, an acknowledgement of our dependence upon God, and certainly very important, because that acknowledgement helps us, as it were, to keep God in His place in our minds. That is, God is far above all. We can do nothing without Him. And prayer, I would suggest to you, among other things, reminds us of that. So our reliance, our relationship, every time we start, most likely somewhere in your prayer, if it's not at the beginning, there's some reference to your Father, your Heavenly Father. That relationship, which then brings us to, how did we get there? Not that you're thinking of all these things necessarily as you pray, but in order to pray correctly and to include these things in your praying, you've thought about them. You know them. And it's just a reminder. I can come to the Heavenly Father because Christ died for me. Because I've been justified. And with that justification, I've been brought into the family of God. I've been adopted into God's family. I'm now a child of God. He's my Heavenly Father. So praying, among others. So we went through a lot of that last week. And then we started my second question on page 543. What are some benefits or results of prayer? If I can put it this way, when you pray, what are the after effects? What are the byproducts of your praying? I'm not talking about the answers to your praying. I'm talking about what does it do in your heart? How does it impact you? And we talked a good bit about the relationship, right? That every time we come to God in prayer, it builds on that relationship, strengthens our faith. Right? Makes us more comfortable, makes us more ready to come the next time. All right? That's one of the things. But I ask you, and surely there have been times, and I'm not trying to suggest that you ought to have some response every time you pray in the manner that I'm talking about. But surely there have been times when you prayed and you finished praying, but the Spirit didn't finish ministering to your heart. And maybe something in your praying, the Spirit didn't pick up on that. And I suggested a couple of things to you, but I can go through, I've got a list of things here that I can go through, things that I thought of as I was trying to answer this question. But I'd like to know if there are things that you can share with us, just how the Lord's done some things. Rebecca? Good. Peace. Yeah, peace. You've brought the matter to God. You've prayed about it. You know, the song, and I may have mentioned it last week, the song, take your burdens to the Lord and do what? Leave them there. Right? And the peace. And it's not a peace like, okay, I've prayed now, so I don't have to worry about this anymore. No, it's that settling of the heart where you know this is not something that I need to be concerned with now. Is it still an issue? Sure, it may still be an issue. You may not see an answer to that prayer for days, weeks, or months. You just may not. But you're content that God is taking care of it in His way. So that however it works out, what do we know? And this is a big part of as we pray and what brings the peace. What do we know? What does Scripture tell us God's doing? When we bring these things to God, what do we know about God's dealings with us in answering our prayers? That He's going to do what? Talk to me. Jack.
He does it in His timing and in accordance with His will.
All right, His timing and according to His will, and in relation to us for our good. Sure, for our good. Where do you get your peace about it? If you don't think it's going to be for your good when God works it out, I don't know that you're going to have a lot of peace, are you? Because now you're worrying about, ooh, what's God going to do now? No, it's for my good. It may be a little tough on the flesh. It's not to say that it's going to be all smooth sailing by any means. But we know that God's in control. God's all wise. God has all power. God can do whatsoever He pleases. And we know that He pleases to do us good. And He's got full capability to make that happen. You ever have that come to your mind? Into your heart after you've prayed? About a matter that's been troubling you? Wow. Just peace. That waves that were fixing to overwhelm the ship. All of a sudden, the water is still and calm. Water is still and calm. Because God said to your heart, peace. Be still. And your heart responded. The Spirit, I would suggest to you, the Spirit continues to minister at times. And be sensitive to that. If you start thinking about, if you've prayed, and in your prayer you thank God for what Christ has done, and that certainly is a good thing to do and proper, not that you do it every time you pray, but if you do, and after you finish praying, you just keep thinking about what Christ has done for you. Don't dismiss those thoughts quickly. Let the Spirit minister to your spirit as a result of your praying. Right? Anything else? Peace? Anybody else? Something? Tony? Good to have y'all with us.
Wisdom and understanding for seeking guidance.
Good. Wisdom, understanding. Now, that can kind of be a twofold thing. That can be an answer to the prayer. We often pray, God, give us wisdom in this matter. Proper prayer. God's promised to do that. So that can be an answer. But as we finish praying, right, and we've asked for that wisdom, then what does the heart start doing sometimes? What do I need to do? Is there something I need to be doing to get that wisdom? What would be one of the first things you might think of doing when you ask for wisdom?
Turn to Scripture.
Yeah, turn to Scripture. The Spirit says, you know, why don't you go see, or can I think of a verse that relates to what I just prayed about? And if I can't, fine. Pull out a concordance and start looking for the topic. See what God said about it. See if there's someone in Scripture that faced the same thing you're facing and what happened. So yeah, you going to God's Word, seeking wisdom, then the Spirit says, okay, good prayer. But how is it that we are to grow? We'll see in a little bit, one of the verses that we've got, as to what Scripture does for us. Okay, good. Wisdom. What else?
Strengthening.
Good. Sure. Strengthening. What would be one of the first things our what gets strengthened through praying? We are depending, right? One of the things of prayer is acknowledging our dependence. Well, what's one of the words, it's a single word, starts with an F, that relates to dependence?
Faith.
Faith, sure. Sure. If you don't believe God can do it, or will do it, if you don't have faith, I pray. And when you pray, there is that, again, the things we've talked about, the thinking about God, and so our faith is strengthened. Our sanctification may be aided. A strengthening of the spiritual, of the inner man. Okay? Again, just from the results. Those things that come to bear upon our heart. The after effects of prayer. What else? Anything? Along with peace, what other emotions and can we think of? One word that's mentioned often in the Psalms. And coupled with prayer so often. With prayer and
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Good. Good, Jack. Prayer and thanksgiving, those two are coupled so often in Scripture. So often. So after you've prayed, is there a welling up in your soul of thanksgiving? A thanksgiving that you can go to your Heavenly Father? A thanksgiving that Christ has made that possible? A thanksgiving that He cares? A thanksgiving that you have His Word that you can read and study to see how He loves you and cares for you? Yeah, thanksgiving. Joy. So peace, joy, thanksgiving. After you've prayed, maybe a very troubling situation. You know, and if you think of the contrast, if you're troubled, you get peace. If you're sad, the joy. It doesn't always happen that you get up off your knees and no longer are you sad at all. You're just very, very joyful. But what does prayer do? Prayer requires you to acknowledge God, right? To acknowledge God, and then your dependence on God, and then God's ability to do all things for your good and His glory. So the thing that made you sad, that was troubling you, now your focus in prayer has taken you and your thoughts, what, to God, right? And now, the thing that was troubling your heart doesn't go away, may still trouble you in the sense that there may be loss, a loss of a loved one. But Scripture talks about not sorrowing as those with what? With no hope. So when we are praying, it's that hope that would be one of those, I would suggest to you, byproducts, one of those after effects. When you pray for somebody, you can pray for them if they know the Lord. Then you can pray for them that God would help them in this time. Right? And then that they would, and God, in answer to your prayer, comes to them and makes them rejoice that while maybe they've lost a loved one, if that loved one knew the Lord, they're with God, they're with Christ. And now that mourning can be coupled with a joy that only believers can know. Good. Effects, I believe it was Don last week mentioned, our prayer affects our relationship with God and affects our relationship with others. You finish praying, you got a problem with somebody. If you've got a problem with somebody, you go to praying for them. Right? If they're your enemy, if they're your friend, if there's a problem, you earnestly, before the Lord, start praying for them. That God would help in the situation. And what you'll get confronted with, I would suggest to you, very likely, is how God has dealt with you. And now, the after effect is, I need to be Christ-like in what I'm doing, in how I'm responding. Okay? And then you go to God's Word and you find out what that looks like. Okay, so again, it's going to have an impact. It's going to have an after effect. Yes, we look for the answers to prayer. And it's wonderful that we can. It's wonderful when we see God answer our prayers. But I would suggest to you that your praying will bless your own heart, the spirit, as you earnestly, and we pray in the manner that we've seen here, we just read, and we'll talk about those a little bit in just a minute. But as we pray, engaging our heart, what the Spirit and what God does, it's just another blessing and benefit that God gives to us when we're obedient. And obedience, praying is an act of obedience because God's told us we are to pray. We don't pray, we're in disobedience, right? So, and then we lose. You don't pray. These things aren't going to happen. I'm not saying that God can't make them happen, but they're not going to happen as a result of your praying because you're not praying. And you lose out in that way. In our paragraph, anything else anybody thought of? Do you want to share? John? Okay. No, I think it's different. I think the two go together. John mentioned comfort that comes. And yeah, there's an aspect there where the ministry to your heart that lets you be at peace, and it's the comfort of God's word, comfort of God's, the knowledge that God's present, the comfort that God takes care of his creation, things we've talked about. Good. Anything else? All right. And then that it may be accepted as to be made in the name of the Son. We've talked about that, the mediator. All right. We've talked about why we need to do that in our worship, in our praying being an act of worship, certainly that way. If you don't come on the merit of Christ, just a quick reminder, if we don't, what's the function? Why do we come in the name of Christ? Why do we end our prayers? We pray this in Jesus' name. Praying is Jack.
We're not worthy.
Okay. Yeah, good. Good. Exactly. We come into God's presence only because of what Christ has done. And we're in Christ. We are robed in his righteousness, which then, as it were, makes us worthy. So if we, and that's why we come in Jesus' name. We are claiming the merits of Christ that have been given to us, those robes of righteousness that have been given to us when we're saved. And now, that's what lets us come. Otherwise, we're coming, if we're not coming in Jesus' name, whose name are we coming in? Our own. You are appearing before God in prayer. That's you. That's personal. It may be in a corporate prayer meeting or something, but basically, for you personally, we're talking about, you're coming to God in prayer. So either you're coming on your own merit, or you're coming on Christ's merit. And it's important, obviously, always remember that. There are those who would suggest that failure to come to make that part of your prayer renders your prayer meaningless because it makes your prayer your prayer based on you. And God doesn't accept you apart from his son. You have no ability. You have no standing. You have no perfect righteousness apart from Christ. So it's important that we keep that in mind as we pray. That we pray in Jesus' name. And then there in the third line, in the name of the Son, by the help of his Spirit, I added a third question, as it were, how does the Holy Spirit help us to pray? And if you'll look on page 547, Westminster Assembly took care of that for me, because Larger Catechism question 182 says, how does the Spirit help us to pray? And the answer, we, not knowing what to pray for as we ought, and we'll see the what part of this in a little bit, the Spirit helps our infirmities by enabling us to understand both for whom, we'll see that in a bit as well, and what and how prayer is to be made. So you see how important it is that we also pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. And we also ask, as we would pray, that the Holy Spirit would help us as we offer this prayer. It's a pretty dark picture here. We not knowing what to pray for helps us to understand who and what and how to pray. And by working and quickening in our hearts, although not in all persons nor at all times in the same measure, those apprehensions, affections, and graces which are requisite for the right performance of that duty of prayer. Now, if you will look, flip the page to Larger Catechism 185, what the Spirit is helping us is to help us those apprehensions, affections, and graces, right? So, what are those? Well, question 185, how are we to pray? And the answer, we are to pray with an awful apprehension. Here's our apprehensions. Apprehension of what? Of the majesty of God. You've heard sermons, I've heard sermons about people who just seem to flippantly come into God's presence, who treat God as just a buddy that's there. When we pray, if you aren't aware that you're praying to the God of all creation, who doesn't need you, to whom you give nothing, you bring nothing, a God who is sufficient in himself in every respect, a God who orders everything in your life, everything in the universe, every second of the day and night. Right? A fear, a reverence. If it's not there, I would suggest you go back and look at chapter 2 of the confession. You go back and look at what you know, or maybe what you don't know, about that God. You look at God, how God has revealed himself. What do the scriptures principally teach? The scriptures principally teach what man is to what? Believe concerning God. That's what we're talking about. If you don't know what Scripture says and how God has revealed himself in Scripture, you aren't prepared to pray in the way you should be. Because God has revealed himself so that we understand and know who he is. That knowledge we just got through talking about, it's that knowledge that brings that peace and that comfort, the assurance, the confidence. Right? We like to think on those things that make us feel good, that work in the way we like for it to work. We don't like to think on the things that make us feel uncomfortable. We live in a world that has very little use for God. And everything it can do to diminish God in your eyes, it will do. And the devil will use it. And I would suggest to you that praying is one thing that you do, or that as you do, should help do battle with that, with what the devil is attempting to do. As you're coming to worship, you're coming into God's presence. Do you ever in your mind kind of get a picture of that? What does that mean? I mean, we will live eternally in a glorified state. Still with a reverence and an awe, but without the impediments that we still have while here in this life. But the apprehension of the majesty of God, if you don't think about it when you pray, then I would suggest you ask the Spirit to give you an understanding of how you should view the God to whom you come in prayer, and that he would help you come in the right way. And we see here, and I'll keep reading here, how some of that plays out. The apprehension of the majesty of God and deep sense of our own unworthiness, necessities, and sins. See the contrast between you and God? And then you also see all the things that God's taken care of for you. Your unworthiness, he's made you worthy in Christ. Your necessities, he's promised to meet them all. Everything that you have need of, according to his will. Your sins, Christ has borne them away. Purged them. Atoned for them. Made you acceptable. With penitent, thankful, and enlarged hearts. And if you have time, take some time and just think about what an enlarged heart is as a Christian. What does that enlarged heart do? How does it react to God, to others? What enlarges your heart? What will give you an enlarged heart? I'll leave that to your consideration. With understanding, faith, sincerity, fervency, love, and perseverance, waiting upon him with humble submission to his will. That's how you're to pray. That's how you're to pray. You've got the proof text there. I will leave to you to go through and study them and consider it. But just take a few minutes and go back and read it a couple of times and say, okay, is this a description of my praying? And if not, then study the scripture and say, okay, why? Why is it not? Because as I pray, I want my prayer to be acceptable. I also want it to be pleasing to God. So we need to be careful how we pray. Those apprehensions, affections, and graces which are requisite for the right performance of that duty, and the Spirit helps us in that respect. God tells us to pray as part of our worship. And Christ taught his disciples to pray, led them in prayer. They heard him pray. They heard perfect praying. Christ left. I'm going to ask the Father to send. I was reading. And the same word that's used for the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Comforter, is the same word that's used for Christ, but it's interpreted in Scripture as Advocate. Right? But we have the Holy Spirit then coming and ministering to all of the church, helping every single Christian that's praying at any given time. There to help. The Holy Spirit, that's the third person of the Godhead, that knows what the will of God is for you. And that's one of the big ways, as we'll see, that the Spirit helps. Because he's helping you pray according to what he knows is God's will, so that you're praying then in God's will. And again, you stop and look and consider just what God's done for us. Everything he asks us, tells us to do, he's provided help for us to do it. He never asks us to do anything that he's not there to help us do it. It said, and we'll hit the Sabbath day here in a few weeks, but when God created the seventh day, you and I know that God didn't need to rest. But he created a day of rest. Right? That became after the fall. Not that it wasn't before the fall, because Adam and Eve, I believe, worshiped on that seventh day. Because the other days, God had given them work to do. But he said, no, you rest. This is a rest day. God, in creating that seventh day, did it for you and me. Did it for you and me. So that we would know to set it apart. Humanly, we need it. Morally, we need it. Spiritually, we need it. Okay? God's goodness to us. The one last thing I want to mention, and I would just refer you, because the same thing we just looked at in the larger catechism questions, there in our paragraph 3 of chapter 21 of the confession, with understanding, reverence, humility, fervency, faith, love, and perseverance. And just take time to look at your proof text. And let me again just mention, if you don't have our books that we have in here, Williamson's and Voss and Vincent, Shorter Catechism, Larger Catechism, and the Confession, get them for your library if you don't have them. And take a look at them. You know, as we go through, you can read those things. I'm not trying to cover everything that they do. I see things in there that I want to draw to your attention. I do. But take time, and if you don't have them, like I say, get them. Tremendous. Sit down and read them. And I guarantee you, the Lord will minister to your heart. I can guarantee you. He, one way or another, it may be conviction, it may be blessing, whatever it is. But take time to look at them. Good material. But, and then the last thing here, and we'll close with this. And if vocal, in a known tongue. Now, we, in reading that, would quickly associate that with what?
Charismatic. Yeah, and your
those who would speak in tongues that are not a tongue, a known tongue, not a human tongue, but whatever. And the encouragement that we have in Corinthians, look, when you pray, if you can't understand it, number one, you aren't praying. Because if you don't understand what you're saying, how do you know that you aren't cursing God? How do you know that you aren't asking for something outside of His will? If you don't have a clue what you're saying, I would suggest to you, you aren't praying, certainly being led by the Holy Spirit. Maybe being led by a spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. All right, so we would, and again, in service, in church services, and the praying in tongues, the speaking in tongues, you know, the Lord says, Corinthians, it needs to be understood. Right? Now, I was thinking about this. You know, we've been in the Korean church a time or two, the one across town here, and sometimes there would be a prayer in English for those who understood English. Then there would be a prayer, and it could have been whichever way. I'm not any emphasis on the order. Then a prayer in the Korean language for those who knew Korean but didn't know English. It was good, because then everyone knew what was being prayed, because the prayers were, I'm assuming, very similar. I mean, it wasn't like we do sometimes with preaching where they'll say a little bit and boom. They prayed the entire prayer in English, then they pray in Korean. So that's not what we're dealing with here. But let me mention one other thing, and I don't mean to intimidate, embarrass, or otherwise hinder anyone here. What, when you're praying in a vocal tongue, praying vocally, part of it, obviously, if you're praying out loud just by yourself in your closet and you hear it, yes, you understand what you're saying. You know in your mind what you're saying as well. So if you're praying aloud so that others can pray along with you, why do we do that? What is it what do we know from Scripture that would say, well, it's good when one prays aloud, if others can then know what they're praying, they can join in their prayer, right? It's where we get the amens and the thank you, Lord, and the hallelujah. Yes, Lord, please answer that. Varying responses, because we know from Scripture that if any two of you what? Agree?
The Lord is there with you.
And we know the Lord is, if we're two or more gathered together in my name, I'm there with you. And then if two or more of you agree, it'll be done in heaven. When you hear an amen, you're hearing, yes, I agree with that prayer, Lord. So be it. If you don't pray where you can be heard, people can't join in. You might as well be praying in an unknown tongue if you're leading in prayer. So I would just encourage you, when you lead in prayer, make sure you think of it. I mean, and it's something that we all do. We tend to drop our voice. I do want to teach. And it's a problem. But when we're praying, you won't. So if you're sitting over here, the person over here, if you aren't praying with some louder, we got great acoustics in this building, but it's still, and if you start getting older or have gotten older, it's even harder for some of us. But you want others to be able to join with you and join in your prayer so that you're agreeing. That's a large part of why you're leading in prayer. And again, I don't want people to become so self-conscious that they won't pray or be hindered. But just, if you need to, okay, when I pray, I'm going to stand up. A reminder, boom. Certainly, you don't want to be praying to the floor. If you're kneeling, all right, you don't want your head in the pew. These little things, practical. But prayer, if it's vocal, is to be heard and understood. So just a by the way on that. I'm not suggesting that necessarily that's where this was going by any means. That's just a practical part of praying. I must confess, and maybe I'm just expressing whatever. It bothers me when I can't understand what someone's saying in their prayers. I want to know, and I want to be informed. If you're praying for something that's on your heart, and I hear it, God may put it on my heart to pray for that tomorrow because I heard you praying. And I know it's on your heart praying for a loved one. I've heard people in the prayer meeting, people pray for others' loved ones that have been named, and this person's praying by that same name. And I have to believe that in part that came from hearing you pray for that loved one in your praying. So it helps to share, if I can put it that way, your burdens so that your brethren can join with you. Not only at the moment, but part of our Christian duty one to another is to pray for one another and to pray with one another, i.e. not only with when we're joined together, but to pray with one another in sharing, you know, what I can pray for you that I know is on your heart. Right? All right. Well, my time's gone. And we'll pick up with 21:4 next week. I think. I may have one or two other things that I need to cover, but 21:4 generally is where we'll pick up next week. Okay, well, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful to you again for your many blessings and mercies to us. Lord, we're thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit that helps us to read and to understand, to hear, to observe. Lord, may it be so this day and in the days to come. Lord, we want to do what you would have us to do. We want to know all about you to the extent we can. We want to understand. We want to understand all that we enjoy in Christ to the extent our finite minds can understand. So, Father, help us as we would go from this class, our time between now and the worship service, and then, Lord, come and meet with us here. Help us to worship thee. Help us in our worship. Help us especially as we would come around thy table to remember our Savior. Oh, Lord, help us this day to remember our Savior. May Christ be lifted up in our midst this day. May we rejoice. May we praise thee, thank thee, adore thee, worship thee, Lord, for all you've done for us in Christ. So bless us and go with us now, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.